This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. We are proud to be the UK's number one legal consumer podcast. Our legal conversation today will be on nightmare neighbours and injunctions. And I am joined by senior barrister Barbara Zeitler from Lamb Chambers in London. Barbara specialises in property law and she has a substantial landlords, tenant and housing practice representing both landlords and tenants. She is a formidable barrister in court who has a reputation for fast and effective production of work, known for her approachable and practical manner. Barbara is also an experienced and accredited mediator who can assist clients as a mediation advocate. Barbara, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And right, I mean, tolerance for noisy and nightmare neighbours has fallen across the UK. And the last financial year saw over 450,000 complaints to councils. The stats say that a whopping 7 in 10 Brits have nightmare neighbours. In fact, 60% say that they have experienced a dispute with their neighbour. The reality is that sometimes situations can get out of hand and a tyrant of abuse and bad behaviour is not what we want or should live next door to. In this episode, Barbara and I will tell you what types of behaviour would be considered unacceptable, the steps you can take to quickly and effectively put a stop to the behaviour, what an injunction is all about, and how you can go about getting one. Barbara, the stats worryingly speaks for themselves. I think that's quite a lot of people, 7 in 10, to be honest. So let's start by telling our listeners, what types of behaviour is considered as harassment and intimidating by neighbours? Because some people may say, well, you know what, they're being badly behaved, but is that really harassment? Should I report it? Would I be frowned upon? Or will the police or the local council sort of say, oh, just get on with it? Let's shed some light on that, please.
Well, it's certainly, neighbour disputes and intimidation and harassment certainly are a problem, but it must be borne in mind that there's got to be a certain amount of give and take between neighbours. Having said that, there clearly is behaviour that crosses a line, and that is unacceptable, and that can be, for example, noise. And of course, we all, in our daily living make noise, but there is there's noise and noise, and noise can be very irritating to neighbours without your neighbour being particularly aware of it. And of course, there is also, for example, deliberate and vindictive noise. There are unfortunately people who play music very loudly at antisocial hours, not just because they feel like it, but perhaps they have it in for their neighbour.
And disturbing, can't it? It can be so disruptive. If you've got, for example, extremely loud noise, and quite interestingly, apparently 64%, and it's the top neighbourly troublesome area is noise, you might not be able to sleep, you can't rest, you can't be in peace, and noise can be in so many different forms, can't it? I mean, I had a matter not long ago that was about the neighbours hoovering at night, and dragging the Hoover along the sort of skirting boards, and it felt like they were scratching the walls. And then you've got noise that can come from having loud and one, actually the stat said, annoying children. And I thought, well, hold on, because I've got some of those as well. But, you know, it can come in so many different forms, can't it?
It certainly can. And perhaps the noise of a washing machine at 9 o'clock in the morning has a very different effect from the noise of a washing machine being run at 11 o'clock at night. And perhaps a washing machine being run at 11 o'clock at night in a block of flats is crossing a line, whereas ordinary use of household appliances during normal times is simply part of everyday living.
Yes, no, indeed. And, you know, and then harassment. I mean, the first thing really is what can come under the term harassment. I mean, the obvious stuff, I think, being abusive, insultive behaviour or words or threats of damage to your property or any written or verbal abuse or made threat made to you. I think it's how it's making you feel that needs to be considered as well, doesn't it? Because one neighbour might say, well, I don't think there's a problem there. Yes, I can hear the Hoover, the washing machine, the children, the cat, the dog all throughout the day, but it doesn't bother me. But then you everybody has the right to say, well, actually, it's upsetting or it's disturbing or it bothers me.
That's certainly true. But as I said earlier, there is this idea, certainly if you think about court proceedings, that there's got to be a degree of give and take. And just because, for example, the noise of your neighbour's Hoover at, say, 8 o'clock at night bothers you, doesn't mean that if you make a complaint to court about that the judge will necessarily agree with you. It very much depends on the degree of interference. It very much depends, as I've already touched on the times of the day when the noise occurs, and also, for example, on the frequency with which the noise occurs. Well, we can, for example, think of somebody, your neighbour, carrying out DIY. If it only happens once or twice at, say, 8 o'clock at night, you're probably not going to get very far with complaining about it. But if we're talking about a major building site that goes on for months on end and causes noise nuisance, I think we are into a different kind of terrain.
Yes, and also, I mean, obviously, and what I'd like to try and talk about next is initial steps that can be taken to stop a neighbour from harassing family or members. But I think initially, It is very tricky, no matter what anyone says, I think, to knock on your neighbour's door and say, you're being really loud, or your children are being really loud, or, the you know, you're just being very rude. Or I think one of the top four concerns, apparently, the stats say, with neighbours is having a questionable lifestyle, i.e. running an illegal business from home. It will, I think, naturally create a hostile environment, and it's very difficult to say to your neighbour, would you please mind. But having said that, there will probably be some people who say, I'm terribly sorry, I didn't realise that was bothering you, and I will take a view. But, you know, initial steps to prevent somebody from, and if it's accelerated, and I'm talking about, you know, you've tried to resolve it directly, it's not worked, the hostility has just ramped up, and now you're sort of, it's gone to people, and the second biggest apparently annoyance is blocking parking and drives, and that's started, or there's swearing, or there's really horrible things going on. What can people look to do first, would you say?
Well, it certainly is true that a lot of these neighbour disputes that we're talking about, they arise from lifestyle clashes. And as you very rightly said, there are quite a lot of examples where neighbours are actually very often not aware that they are causing nuisance and annoyance to their neighbour. Now, obviously, it's not always the case, but it does happen. And I think, therefore, Before this matter escalates, before you rush to court complaining about your neighbour's lifestyle, it's very important to try and communicate with your neighbour. Now, I realise that's sometimes easier said than done, because there are people who may be a little bit frightened by their neighbours because they're very different from them, or they perhaps have a sort of aura of, or perhaps being not very approachable. But I think the starting point always must be to communicate with your neighbour. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean knocking on your neighbour's door, but that can mean
could write a letter, write a text.
Sending a text, but communication is always key. If that doesn't work, I think another avenue you can explore is get in touch. For instance, if it's tenants that are your neighbours, try and get in touch with the landlord of that tenant. That may be a private landlord, that may be a local council or a housing association, because obviously tenants have certain obligations under the tenancy agreement, and one of them in the vast majority of cases is not to cause nuisance and annoyance to other people. But as I said, very often, in a lot of cases, neighbours simply aren't aware that, for example, their blender that they use in their kitchen is
yes.
very audible.
The Ninja blender that starts, we've got one of those, I have to say, and they are really, really loud. And I think that's the starting point, isn't it? See how you could reach out. And if you feel that, you know, knocking on the door, as you said, Barbara, is going to cause that friction and confrontation, maybe just write a very polite note. Or send a very polite text. But I think something you said earlier, you know, if you're going to try and tackle it because it's a consistently drawn out over a long period of time event of disruption and noise, this is even before anything's escalated between you, I think it's important to make a note of every detail, every date, just the date, what happened, type of behaviour. And if you can record any of it, and I know it's difficult to record, I know everyone's got smartphones, and obviously to press record is the easiest thing these days, but it doesn't always pick up the severity of what you can hear. But make a note in a detail, and then of course, so you know, you quite rightly said, if your tenant if your neighbour is a tenant, then contact the landlord. But the local council, and I know I've had lots of people on one of my reels that I put out on TikTok say, I've been knocking on the council's door, I've been complaining to the council for months and months and months, and nothing is being done about it. They're just, whether they haven't got the time or the will, I don't know. But people are generally quite dissatisfied with how councils are dealing with complaints about neighbourly disputes and disruption, because the other side of this is, well, if you've approached and it doesn't work, you've tried the direct approach, you've tried the council and it doesn't work, well, we're trying to talk about today getting an injunction, and what it's all about. So can we tell our listeners what is an injunction, first of all, so that they understand that bit, and then how they can go about getting an injunction to prevent a neighbour from carrying out their bad behaviour and to keep them away as well, because obviously that's not going to go down well with the neighbour.
Well, I think what we're now talking about is getting to the stage where nothing else has worked. So
quite.
The approach to the neighbour, the friendly letter has not worked. The council hasn't helped you. You haven't got very far with, for example, the police either. So you now want to go to court and apply for an injunction. I suppose the long and short of it is an injunction is an order from the court that requires a person against whom the injunction is made either to do something or to stop doing something. It's essentially, it's a court order whereby the court regulates somebody's behavior. And it is, in actual fact, applying to court for an injunction is quite a drastic step, just because you now go to court and you want to apply for an injunction. That doesn't necessarily mean that the judge will actually grant you an injunction. You
yes.
have to demonstrate
and prove
to the judge in court that they're actually sufficient grounds for making the injunction. And that's why it's very important, and you touched upon this a couple of minutes ago, it's very important to have sufficient documentation in support of your application for an injunction. So that's why it's very important, for example, to keep a diary of the noise or of any other antisocial behavior, and indeed have recordings, even though, as you rightly said, the recordings, they're not always very helpful, and it may also be some video evidence. I mean, if we think of certain cases of antisocial behavior, they're not just noise, but
yes.
also, for example, intrusive loitering, and then it helps to have some video evidence. But of course, then you always have to be also perhaps aware of data protection issues as well. But it's very, very important that you have sufficient evidence in support of your application for an injunction. But I also think not merely having evidence is very important. Getting an injunction should be a last step. So before you go to court, it's I think very important to write a letter before action. And obviously, you've already written letters, the friendly short letters saying, please stop this behavior. That hasn't worked. Then you want to go to court, but then it's quite important, I would say, to write a letter before action, which outlines the behavior that bothers you, and that then refers to what you want to happen, the solution you want to have, and then say, well, if there isn't a change, I will go if there isn't a change of the behavior, I will go to court. And I think it's also quite important to say in this letter before action that there are likely to be cost consequences. So if an injunction is made against your neighbour, your neighbour is likely to have to pay the costs of your application for the injunction. And it's also very important to highlight what the consequences are of breaching an injunction. Because if an injunction is made and the injunction is breached, they are potentially very serious consequences, because if a court subsequently decides that the neighbor has breached the terms of an injunction, like not to make any noise at certain times of the day, that amounts to a contempt of court, and that's a very serious matter. And a person who has breached the injunction can potentially go to prison. So these are all the matters that I think should be set out in a letter before action. And I think also when applying for an injunction, you have to be very clear about the legal basis on which an injunction is brought, because they are different legal bases on which an injunction is brought. So they're different legal mechanisms, for example. Now, for example, that we've talked about the local authority, and we've spoken about how frustrating it can be to get help. But for example, if it is a council tenant or a housing association tenant, it would, in my view, be much more appropriate to get the local authority involved in this, because the local authority has particular powers to obtain an injunction under the Antisocial Behaviour Crime and Policing Act 2014. That's not a legal instrument that you yourself can use.
Would it be, Barbara, under the protection of the Harassment Act 97, that somebody can apply directly if someone's harassed, intimidated, yeah, verbally abused or threatened, or, you know, because what we're saying here essentially is whether it's the noise, whether it's somebody directly or an action that they're taking, as we've referred to hoovers, we've referred to blenders or washing machines, it can be harassing. It feels harassing to have to experience that. And it's a county court, the local county court, an application for a civil injunction order to be made against the perpetrator. And I think it's important to say, I know this podcast is about neighbours, but whether they're your neighbour or not, at the end of the day, if someone is harassing, intimidating, abusing you, it could be the person from down the street, you know, that's doing it. That, I think that's where somebody would go under that act of law to apply. And there is no fee when you apply for an injunction, but there probably is a court fee, and obviously if you have representation there'll be legal fees.
That's certainly true. There will be fees and potentially legal fees if you get legal assistance. But as I said, it's always very important to be very clear about the legal basis on which you bring the application for an injunction. And of course, the Protection from Harassment Act 1997 is certainly one of those legal bases, and it is something that you as a private individual can use. But again, there has to be a certain sort of factual basis on which you
evidence
agree to such an application,
yes,
for an injunction under the
I was just gonna say the evidence is utterly clear. It has to be clear. You can't turn up and just say this is what I'm experiencing. And what you have to appreciate, that a court doesn't know either you or your neighbour from Adam, doesn't know you personally, doesn't know the situation, isn't living near to you. So you have to be able to demonstrate and show, either by, and you mentioned diary, I mentioned keeping a log of information, here's the date, here's what's happened, here's how it's made me feel. And if any photographic or video evidence or recording of some kind, where it might just be the noise recording or anything at all, can be presented, then that is going to help you get an injunction. And I think one of the things that you've been talking about, the pre-action letter, Barbara, is really important. And I think if it really has just, you know, become unbearable for you and you are seriously thinking of going for an injunction, it is worth getting somebody in the legal sphere just to help you with a pre-action letter, just to write that, because then they can actually outline, this is what's going on, this is what we're going to do if we go to court, if we're granted an injunction, as you've been saying, Barbara, these are the consequences of that, these are the likely cost implications. Even if you feel that, look, I haven't got the funds to go to instruct legal representation in court, but I will instruct to legal representative to write a really solid pre-action letter for me, I think it's worth doing that. Do you do direct access, Barbara?
I certainly do. And I think I just wanted to make another point in relation to the thorough preparation for these injunction applications. I mean, for example, an injunction under the Protection from Harassment Act, you have to demonstrate that there has been a course of conduct on at least two occasions. And it's got to be under the Protection from Harassment Act, it's got to be threats of violence or even violence or insulting words and behaviour.
Abuse, verbally, threatening, sort of.
Threatening.
Yes.
So, and that's got to be there on at least two occasions. So I think probably just hoovering on its own will not get you very far under the protection from harassment act, but if then that's followed by you know, an altercation with your neighbor and threats of violence, and that happens on at least two occasions, that's certainly something for which you could use the Protection from Harassment Act, but obviously we have got the issue of documentation. You can also apply for an injunction under private nuisance. And for example, you can combine an injunction in private nuisance and under the Protection from Harassment Act. So perhaps if you've got constant hoovering at 11 o'clock at night, five times a day, that may be something that can be brought in private nuisance. But as always, it's, as I said, and I can't stress it enough, it's thorough preparation, but of course also it's always communication. We don't want to get to this stage of where court proceedings become necessary.
Yes, no, indeed. And I just want to mention to our listeners, the reason why I asked Barbara if she does direct access, because what that actually means, that if you wanted to get Barbara to instruct Barbara to see if she could assist you with any disputes to do with your neighbours or possible injunctions, you can call Lamb Chambers, which is where she's based, and speak to her clerk outlining what it is you're looking for, and they can advise you as to whether Barbara can help, and if so, the costs and timescales there onwards. Barbara, that's all we've got time for.
Thank you.
Very, very much for coming on to Get Legally Speaking podcast. It's been really informative. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, not at all.
And what I'll say to our listeners is, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. We have over 160 to choose from, and you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.